In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Nineveh must repent of its violence or be destroyed. And repent they did. But the city that Jonah went to was still destroyed centuries ago in the waves of war that sweep over all empires in the end. Of Nineveh, only the archaeological remains are there. But they stand in the middle of northern Iraq, which today is a terrible battleground with ISIS. And ISIS made a chilling threat that sounds so familiar when you hear the story of Jonah. Nineveh, its ancient stones, ISIS say, must be destroyed, erased, so that there will be no trace, no memory that that civilization ever existed. It's not a call to repent, it's a message of hate. And ISIS have form on this with explosives and bulldozers. They are destroying Christian monasteries and churches across the Middle East and North Africa. On Friday, there was a remarkable and historic meeting in, of all places, the airport lounge at Cuba, Havana, when Pope Francis met Patriarch Kirill of the Moscow, of the Russian Orthodox Church, historic because leaders of those churches had not met for centuries. It was an amazing meeting, but it was driven to take place very much by what's happening today around the world and to the Christian churches, especially in the Middle East, the place where martyrdom is such a terrible reality. At the end of their meeting on Friday, the Pope and the Patriarch issued a common declaration to the world. And in it, they assert the rights of Christians to remain in their lands where they have been for centuries, where the Christian faith grew and took shape and spread. Asserting their rights not to be killed, not to have their churches and monasteries burnt and destroyed. Asserting the importance of Christians staying in their historic homelands, because every time a family from those churches leaves, never to return, the church there is one step closer to being erased. For very similar and very urgent reasons, Anglicans have also been involved in coming close, urgently close, to the ancient churches of the Middle East and working with them, to pray for them, to support them, and to do what we can for justice for them. One of the two archbishops named in the Cuba Declaration should have been on the Anglican dialogue with the churches of the Middle East, but for 2 years, no one has heard of either of them. No one knows if they are still alive, and yet the churches pray for them in the hope that they may just still be alive. And so as you look around the Christian world and beyond, there is an amazing sense of urgency, of the imperative to sort out history, to come together, and to make a difference. In the last few months, Anglicans have signed an historic agreement with the churches of the East on the nature of Christ and overcome our own centuries of historic division. And we've done this because theology really matters. It is about life and death. What we do is of the highest importance, even though sitting here in Guildford coming to a Lent lecture on Thursday may seem simple and gentle. It matters. Nothing matters more. And as well as the church's dialogue across the traditions, there's another which is of immense importance. And it's a theological conversation of the in the strongest terms, which confronts an alternative theological view that sees all other forms of faith, all other forms of political governance, as being utterly and completely illegitimate. World peace depends on a few things, like political justice, economic justice, geopolitical security, and especially on theology, on good, rigorous, profound theology. A theology that challenges any belief that would seek to legitimize unrestrained violence and would place all those who disagree in submission or choosing death. When we hear the parable from Luke 18, as we did tonight, about the Pharisee and the tax collector, we find another take on what it is to censure another. We often hear that parable as being personal, a moral reminder. Don't, for goodness sake, be snooty about the person next to you. Don't think, of course you're right, that you are better than they. It's a terribly easy thing to do. Luke's gloss at the start of it says Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. But be warned, let us all be warned, that taking self-righteousness too far may be lethal. Back to Jonah and his mission to Nineveh. What stands out from that journey is that God's nature is mercy. God does not want the destruction of any city or any person. The story goes on that the Ninevites, having repented, are spared by God and the city is not destroyed. And Jonah is really offended. He's angry with God because Jonah would prefer it if those Ninevites had been erased and destroyed. He would rather violence instead of mercy. But mercy is the nature of God. For our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters around the world, this is a special year. It's a holy year focused on mercy. And in this cathedral community, people are meeting to study that declaration on the mercy of God. And it's of real value to all of us to reflect in Lent on the mercy of God during these 40 days of Lent. Remember the 40 days the Ninevites had to reflect on their situation and to repent. The 40 days of Christ in the wilderness. The tax collector standing in the temple prays, beating his breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But mercy is a wonderful, rich, and glorious word. It's not about groveling in simple self-abasement and self-rejection. It's nothing of that. Mercy is eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. A word that means anointing, the pouring out unrestrained of the loving mercy of God on the people who turn to him in trust. Mercy is God's gift to us every day, and it's our reminder in Lent to come to God and to find his mercy, the overflowing, gentle, healing touch of God, to set aside the certainty that we are better and to know only that we need God, and that having God, we need nothing else. This morning, Canon Gittoes gave us an alternative focus for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And suggested that we reflect simply on God saying to us, "I love you." And that divine love is seen in mercy. God is merciful because he loves. And the only desire of the lover is that the beloved should respond with love. To the one merciful God be glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen.